You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. If you're new to the podcast, I am the former Major League Baseball editor for Sporting News. I'm a former Cy Young and Rookie of the Year voter. I have another podcast. It's called Baseball by the Book. I talk to authors of baseball books, past and present, and I would appreciate it if you would check that one out as well. It's available on all your podcast apps. And most importantly, I am a lifelong Orioles fan. I've been following the team since the 1970s, so I've seen some good times and some bad times, and I'm in the trenches every day with the rest of you out there in Birdland. Okay, today, guys, we are joined by Matt Taylor. You know him from the blog Roar from 34. He's been a frequent guest on Locked On Orioles. He's here today to talk about the legacy of Adam Jones. This has been a topic that's been debated quite a bit on Twitter recently, as we got news that Adam Jones signed with the Diamondbacks and is now officially no longer an Oriole. We'll get to the interview with Matt Taylor in just a second. Hey, folks, just a reminder. For all the original content of the Locked On Podcast Network, both the podcasts and the written content on every team, go to LockedOnSports.com. Hey, everybody. We are joined now by Matt Taylor from the blog Roar from 34. He is also on Twitter, at Roar from 34. That's 3-4, the numbers. And you should check out him on Twitter, and you should also check out Roar from 34 for some great Orioles content. Matt's joined us several times before, and today he's here to talk to us about a topic that I wasn't expecting necessarily to talk about Adam Jones too much in 2019, but something came up the other day that started a very interesting conversation on Twitter, and I wanted to kind of just continue that with Matt, who's a guy who's very knowledgeable about Orioles history. Matt, the other day, Adam Jones signed with the Diamondbacks, and somebody, and I wish I remembered who it was, but an Orioles fan tweeted something to the effect of, "The Orioles better retire Adam Jones' number or we riot." And I responded to that on Twitter and said, well, you know, they tend to only retire Hall of Fame guys, so I doubt it. And then other people got into the conversation, and I actually ended up putting out a poll about it on my Locked On Orioles Twitter account, at Locked On Orioles. And I can't remember the exact results, but the majority said no, his number should not be retired. It was 60-some percent said no, and then, you know, 30-some percent said yes. It's a really interesting question because, you know, like I said on Twitter, he is not, you know, I don't think anybody believes Adam Jones is going to be a Hall of Famer. So that by that token, he's not a guy you would honor with a retired number if you're the Orioles, because that's what they've done in the past. On the other hand, a lot of people argued, look, this is a guy who was the face of the franchise. He's a guy who stepped up during the the riots and when the stadium was empty. He was the guy who has always carried himself with a lot of dignity and a lot of class, and has been a guy Orioles fans were proud of. And he was, a very good player as well, a multiple All-Star, multiple Gold Glove winner. And he was the guy who was there through what has been the best Orioles era of the 21st century by far, 2012 to 2016. So, Matt, I'll throw it to you. What do you think? Do you think the Orioles should retire Adam Jones' number, or do you think it's a ridiculous question?
I think it's a ridiculous question, and I think it's fair to love Adam Jones and love everything he did in the community and really appreciate what he did on the field and still be of the opinion that, you're not retiring number. I've even heard suggested, we got to build a statue to the guy. And I get it, especially as the guy's leaving and there's a finality, to everything. I mean, up until now, all the writing was on the wall that he is done here. They, did some honoring of him toward the end of the season. You still saw some people making the call of, they should bring back Adam Jones for veteran leadership. So it's final, and there's a lot of emotion around that. And, I wrote myself a piece about how much I appreciate Adam Jones and how while he was playing, I wouldn't have thought of, hey, there's my favorite player, but that probably during this era where they, buckle up and we won't stop type Orioles, that as I look back on it, he's probably the guy that I really associate with that strongly and really appreciate everything he did. But that in itself, I don't think amounts to, you know, a number being retired or anything along those lines. You know, you mentioned that that being an honor reserved for Hall of Famers, and you do have to get to a point where you start to water things down. And I think more the question should be like, what is the best way to honor this guy? And, you know, I look at, you know, he's going to be an Orioles Hall of Famer one day, but that also speaks to kind of how that honor has kind of gotten watered down. If you look at the wall there and you think that people are like, oh yeah, okay, that's great. And his Orioles Hall of Famer. So there's not as much to that. So I just wonder, is there another way, like one day, do you see him coming back and being a team ambassador if he has any interest? You know, he may just want to go back and be on the West Coast and not do that, but are there opportunities there? Or heck, I would even have fun with it. And I'd say, yeah, we'll name the center field, you know, bar after you, or that area. That's where he had the famous, I think that's where he was when he was doing the social media night and, you know, was asked about his favorite place in Baltimore. And he said the airport. So there'd be a certain fun irony to that. Like, there are probably fun ways to honor him, and then even more substantive ways over time that he can stay involved with the team. But I look at the call to retire his number as more just an emotional reaction in the moment. And I think you do have to reserve that for very special cases. And as special as Adam Jones was to the Orioles, I don't think he reaches that level of being someone that you're going to retire the number.
Yeah, I agree with you for sure. And I think you bring up an interesting point there, which is the question of, is there something between the retired number / you know, statues at Camden Yards, which has been reserved for the guys who went into the Hall of Fame with Orioles hats, and the Orioles Hall of Fame, which, as you said, and I think this is a good way of putting it, it's really been watered down in recent years, I think. I mean, I look at some of the guys who've gone in, and no disrespect to them, but, you know, Rich Dower and Gary Renicky and some guys who I remember as, you know, as guys that I enjoyed watching and were part of important Orioles teams, but we're not particularly special players in the grand scheme of things. Certainly not as good as Adam Jones by any stretch of the imagination. And those guys are honored with that. So, you know, again, there's a question of is there something in between? And I don't know that there is, but maybe they could figure something out for guys like Adam Jones and Boog Powell, guys who are kind of above the, you know, the standard Orioles Hall of Famer and below the actual Hall of Famer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's really, I mean, it's a case of where you get a mix of affection and fan affection between, you know, that and a mix of the actual play itself. And again, that's not to be any sort of negative toward Adam Jones, but a lot of these, I think, calls for this sort of thing are really driven by affection. And, you know, I think, you know, thought some about this and thought about Adam Jones and even just, you know, where he might rank, you know, with Orioles and, you know, as Orioles center fielders and that sort of thing. And if you look just at that, I mean, it's like, what does that mean for a guy like, you know, Paul Blair, in context of Orioles history, where, you know, Blair, an amazing center fielder. And I think that often forgotten by, you know, by many fans. And, you know, for me growing up, I didn't really learn about Paul Blair until I got into baseball more seriously. And the first time I heard his name, to be honest with you, is when he was a substitute teacher at my brother's high school. You know, like, that's the difference. Time period of, you know, a guy that was, you know, kind of an all-time great for the team, won championships, played an amazing center field. And here he was just, you know, sitting at the front of the room being the substitute teacher at Catonsville High School. But so, I mean, that's something I think you have to consider too. Anytime you're talking about honoring something is, you know, we're very much in the moment. And I think that's kind of, I don't know if that's a product of our times now, but I feel like with a lot of things that we lose context pretty quickly. And I think even when you're thinking about how to honor a guy in retired number, that there are very few cases. I mean, like, we knew, right, when Cal Ripken's coming toward the end of his career, like, yes, that's a guy that's going to have his number retired. But there are a lot of guys that we have a strong affection for. And when it comes to the end of their career, there's a sadness there. And it happens to be at a time in Baltimore where you've also got tributes now to Joe Flacco, right, as he's officially gone, and some sentimentality there from folks that just a few months ago were, you know, criticizing him and kicking him to the curb. So there's very much that emotional reaction. But I think, you know, even in thinking about how to honor him, it's a fun conversation to have now. But if you're serious about it, I think there needs to be some time, some separation, and really put some context around it to say, okay, you know, some of that emotion in the moment is gone. Now, what context do we have and what do we want to do with this? And the answer might not be anything. It might just be that he's remembered very fondly and maintains a connection to the team somehow, but that isn't formally honored other than in people's memories. But that counts for something too, right? That you'll still see, I'm sure, for years to come here until another big star emerges, plenty of Adam Jones jerseys and jerseys around the ballpark. You'll hear stories about him. And I don't think he's really in a position where anyone's worried about losing the memory of Adam Jones. But I think it'll take time to figure out really how do we best honor this guy, and do we in a formal sort of way that marks forever in terms of the building itself, give him something, or is it more just a case of it's, you know, in memories and maybe with whatever association you can establish with him after he's done playing.
Yeah, it's one of the things that came up too on Twitter. Somebody brought up this point, and I thought it was an interesting one, and that's the question of generational fans. You know, the people who are asking for his number to be retired. Is it the younger fans? Because I was thinking about this. If you're in your 20s or early 30s, you probably don't even have much memory of Cal Ripken. Never mind, you know, Brooks Robinson, Frank Robinson, Jim Palmer. You may remember the tail end of Cal's career, but you certainly don't remember when he broke the streak. You don't remember when he was winning MVPs. And for players like that, and for fans like that, rather, they also don't have any memory of the Orioles being any good except for this recent period of 2012 to 2016. They don't have any memories of the 90s or the early 80s or certainly the 70s. You know, I'm fortunate enough, or unfortunate enough, if you look at it, to be old enough to remember the Orioles winning the World Series in 1983, to remember Cal Ripken in his prime, Eddie Murray in his prime. I'm a little old to remember, you know, Jim Palmer quite in his prime. I mean, a little young to remember Palmer in his prime, but I certainly remember Jim Palmer as an Oriole and Earl Weaver. So I remember the good times and maybe have a little different perspective on it. But again, for those younger fans, those people in their 20s, I'm wondering if that's part of it. Is that like, hey, we want to remember our era that you know, we don't have those great World Series memories, but we have Adam Jones. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's an interesting point in terms of, you know, providing the memory that's certainly in the context of all the losing the Orioles had done before Jones got there. His role is emerging as a leader. I was reading something that Dan Connolly wrote recently for The Athletic about Jones. I think it was around the 2010 timeframe when it was just this interaction he had with Jones in the team hotel where Jones basically said like, hey, I'm going to be a leader next year. Look for me. And that at the time it struck Connolly as kind of brash and a big statement, but then that's exactly, you know, what he did. And so he certainly plays a special part. And that's interesting to think of it in terms of generation that, you know, the Orioles, you know, did not, you know, get to a World Series with Jones, much less win one. And I'm not the type of person that says you have to set up winning a championship as the ultimate measure for one player, because there's so much that goes into that beyond a player. But the accomplishments that happened for the team were remarkable within the context of where the organization had been. Within the larger context of the team history, and that's where I go back to a guy like Blair, that, you know, all he was doing, and, you know, not that gold gloves are the best measure, but, you know, probably about twice as many as Jones, and, you know, similar to Jones, played a shallow center field, but it's like, hey, I can make up for that with my speed, did all this, but also did it in playing in like four World Series and winning a couple. Now, that's not something I had the opportunity to witness, but I have an opportunity to respect that and think like, man, I would have loved to have seen that guy played. And again, that's a guy that I feel is probably forgotten a lot of the times. You ask most fans nowadays about center fielders and you hear, oh, well, Jones. Yeah, Jones is one of the best, and Brady, you know, but how far back does the memory go? So there's a lot that's interesting in there in terms of the generation. But again, I guess if you're going to speak in terms of generation, then maybe you look at those numbers and those big honors and think of those in terms of generational talent. And that's how you talk about a guy like a Manny Machado, Bryce Harper. When you heard conversation around them as their free agents, that's the term that's used, is they're a generational talent. Well, certainly if Machado stays in Baltimore, right, that's a number you're gonna retire. There's not going to be as much debate around it. So it's almost, for me, when you look at those biggest honors, it's someone that their greatness spans generations, so that even folks that, you know, weren't alive for that, whether it's before their time or you know, maybe they're not following the team as much as they once did, that it doesn't matter. They still know that name. They still know that, hey, that's a legend. Like, there are plenty of in recent years, as they kind of play up the nostalgia piece and have anniversaries and that sort of thing, there are plenty of players that come through there, and fans, even that didn't have the chance to watch them play, at the very least know the name, or know that, hey, they were an all-time Orioles great. And so that's when I think of it. There's a whole other level that does span generations. And I think there should be a layer that applies to them of, no matter what generation you're in, like, you should know this player, right? Like, they were that great. But at the same time, I can understand the call for wanting something in the ballpark that you can look at and say, hey, I was alive for that. That was my guy. That was my player. Like, I can understand that yearning, but that's again where I think you need to find what is some way that you find to incorporate that. And probably in a case like Jones, finding something unique, that doesn't, you know, cheapen the standard that you have kind of for those truly all time generational talents.
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. And, you know, I think I can only hope that in the coming years, as this new administration is on board and we are getting some number one picks in the MLB draft and they're building the talent base, that hopefully in 10 or 15 years, we're going to have some guys who are legitimate retired numbered cap guys for the Orioles. And maybe, you know, that will make this whole conversation a little bit different. But I think, yeah, again, a lot of it is just that, you know, a lot of fans of a certain age are craving to have that, you know, they're immortal and they haven't had one in a while. I don't even want to get into the whole question of Mike Mussina's jersey, which is a whole different thing, but which came up in some of these discussions I was having on Twitter as well. But that's a whole different thing. All right. Well, Matt, thanks a lot for joining us today. Again, you know, people could find you at Roar for 34 on Twitter and at the blog Roar from 34.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for the time. I enjoyed it.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.